If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Can you read some more of my stuff back to me? Because
yes.
That gets me all tingly in my man.
Well, look, let me just tell you one thing that someone alerted us to. It was a month ago, November 16th, your headline was Russia's involvement in the 2016 election is growing by the day. And you wrote it, how perilous a time this is for the world is only beginning to be understood. So there are beacons of light like you that have been screaming about this. Why isn't the fact that Russia played monkey mischief with the recent presidential election and the fact that we have no freaking idea how much the president-elect may owe to various financial institutions with connections to that regime are much bigger story than it has been? Thank you.
Well, you know, it's my vast contacts within the CIA have alerted me to that, of course. during my time as an international man of mystery.
Charlie, By the way,
can I just say that between you and a lot of your guests and Kate McKinnon,
yeah,
that gay women are going to save the country.
Thank you.
There's
Thank
no question
you.
About it.
Thank you.
And I got to tell you, Kate McKinnon, she's moving into like John Cleese territory.
Yeah. Yeah,
where all she has to do is walk on the screen and I fall out of my chair laughing.
Yeah.
She
saved SNL.
Anything. She's fantastic. Charlie, I was hearing you
talk about Angela Merkel earlier.
Your other headline is "Mistakes Were Made" is not good enough this time. I keep saying it, and I feel like I am the one that's radical that says we cannot allow a Russian dictator to pick our president? As the CIA agent has been saying on CNN and elsewhere, in every other country they do a revote,
mm-hmm.
or the electors need to put Hillary Clinton in, who is the rightful winner here. I mean, go ahead.
In every other country, they don't have. I mean, very few countries have written constitutions. We have one. We can't have a revote. All that's left, the only possibility of stopping the, you know, onrushing catastrophe is the electors. That's the only one.
Right.
And that's what we got. And unfortunately, it's so rusted from disuse that, as much as I'd like to believe there are 37 people of conscience.
But we also have never...
politics today. I don't.
Charlie, we've never had this happen. I mean, I don't think it's hyperbole, the people that are saying this is a 9/11. This is a political 9/11. This is our generation's Watergate. I mean,
closer.
It's an act of war.
I shy away from the 9/11 bits because of the body count. I think it's a major scandal. I think it's slotted in... You know, and again, we don't know enough about it to really know. We know where to put Watergate because we know everything about it. We know where to put Iran-Contra because we know everything about it, because there were legitimate investigations. I'm just afraid we're not going to get a legitimate investigation. And it can't be the Congress. I mean, because
right.
McConnell is completely compromised at this point.
Why are we playing pussyfoot with the word treason? It is treason to have known this information and sat on it, in my opinion.
Well, it's certainly un-American, and then yesterday we find out that while under the, you can't say it because you don't know it, Paul Ryan's PAC was using the hacked information against congressional candidates.
Thank you. So it went down ticket.
The rock spreads. I mean, it's not just, Vladimir Putin, doing monkey mischief with our elections for fun. It was an attempt by at least auxiliaries of a foreign government to influence American politics all the way down to the local level.
But Charlie,
I don't think that's an exaggeration to say that.
But aren't we at Watergate, as we keep saying, in the sense that what did the president-elect know and when did he know it? And I follow the money in addition to it, a lot of the things that you're alluding to. We already seems like we have a lot of... I mean, what if they definitively prove collusion with the Trump campaign? How do you let that man take office?
Well, I don't know that you can. I mean, I don't know that you can prove definitively prove collusion by January 20th. But there are two safety valves left. One is the electors, and the other is the House of Representatives, which can refuse to certify the electors.
But Charlie, here's my point. If the electors don't definitively give it to Hillary and they throw it to the House of Representatives, you are rewarding a party that colluded, that committed treason. You are rewarding them by letting them pick whoever they want. And that is not acceptable.
Well, it's not acceptable, but there's no way to stop it unless there's no constitutional slash legal way to stop it.
Right.
I mean, you can pull, I
but
mean,
as you,
I mean, Go ahead.
I know. I was reading part of your piece. The fact remains the embryonic Trump administration is lousy with Russian connections right up to the oil baron. It obviously just nominated as Secretary of State. All of that stuff. Paul Manafort lives in Trump Tower. I mean, every move he's made since the election just confirms all this, right?
Well, the obscure Montana congressman who he's just named to be the Secretary of the Interior.
Right.
Also is out in the press talking about his respect for Putin as a quote-unquote leader. And this guy's wife, by the way, was one of the several Republican women who said that there nothing on the Access Hollywood tape really bothered them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also said the fact remains we do not know all about to whom the president-elect owes money and what Russian connections are in there, right?
Russian, Chinese, Bahrain, you know, Bhutan, who knows? I mean, we don't know who this guy's in debt to. And I think, and Tom Hartman was talking about this a little bit the other day. What's going to happen? You've got to figure that anything with his name on it is going to be a bullseye for terrorist attacks.
Thank you.
What happens the first time somebody throws a hand grenade into a Trump casino?
Right.
Are we going to war with, like, everybody?
Thank you. I mean, Charlie, and by the way, you make a point, as you know, I'm one of the number one Obama apologists. But you say every single serious mistake he's made has been because he assumed good faith on the part of his political opposition, misjudged the depth and virulence of his political opposition, or both. It's 2016. Why would he still believe Mitch McConnell would act with dispassionate patriotism instead of the partisan obstruction on anything? And you say, I respect the president's confidence in the better angels of our natures, but those angels have been deathly quiet since 2009. And this is part of this, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think he will one day consider that a massive miscalculation.
Yeah. It's right up there
with Lyndon Johnson knowing that Richard Nixon was sabotaging the Paris peace talks and not telling Hubert Humphrey.
Right.
Because he didn't like Humphrey, and B, because he didn't want to, quote-unquote, influence the election.
Yeah.
It's right up there with that and the New York Times sitting on the domestic wiretap.
Well, and it's caving to the bully because Donald Trump was out there screaming rigged election, and the White House assumed Hillary was going to win. They thought, oh, we don't want to give him ammunition to delegitimize her presidency. And as you say, some of the Republicans in the briefing seem opposed to the idea of going public with such explosive allegations while they were doing an end zone dance about the email Comey thing, right? A move they argued would only rattle public confidence and play into Moscow's hands. And then you say, there we are again, children of the candy glass who can't be trusted with the truth. Don't rattle the public's confidence in the final stages of the election by telling them the Russians have monkey wrenched the election. You say, damn it, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have an informed electorate. And that's the biggest tragedy. We did not have an informed electorate before we voted.
Well, yeah, and to an extent, it's up to the electorate to inform itself, too. I mean, that's let's not let them off the hook. But, right. You know, I think, and I don't know I don't know a way out of this right now. I mean, if the electors don't do it and the House doesn't do it, I have no confidence the House will do it because Paul Ryan would certify the election of President Charlie Manson if it got him tax cuts.
Yeah, if he got to destroy Medicare, he'd write.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't care at this point. Although I would say that if I had a dream scenario, it would be that the electors turned and that the House had to declare itself one way or the other on President Trump, therefore owning him for the rest of his term. Because so far they've been able to dodge the really bad stuff, you know, saying, well, you know, we deplore this, but, you know, give us our tax cuts and give us our end of safety net, we'll be fine. No, you got to own you got to make them own the totality of the disaster.
Yeah, and by the way, you wrote, if we're going to have a constitutional crisis, damn it, we should have one according to the Constitution. The electors should look at the accumulated evidence and deny the president-elect his mandate. Charlie, this has been brought up to me several times this week, but it was my dad's running mate, Barry Goldwater, that told Nixon it's time to go. The fact is, like you said, we don't appear to have any principled Republicans, with the exception of Lindsey Graham and John McCain, and I will have to say Marco Rubio, who was the only one that said, I will not comment on stolen emails because it could happen to us next time.
Well, and he's planning on running for president again. That's a good thing. I think we're all going to have to come around a little bit on Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at the very least, he recognized the threat early on.
Right.
You remember, he was one of the few guys who really went after Trump early in the primaries.
Right. I mean, Charlie, you have such
Did you say reach around? Oh, no, come around. That's different.
You have such a...
See, now that's a... There's no Jim, Louise, Ward. There is no reason for that.
You know, you. But I love the way you put it. This situation is the most stark challenge to a free people that has arisen in my lifetime. I mean, and that's what and you say we are the deep, dark woods now. We are, in a very real sense, survivalists. And I think that's what we need to acknowledge, is we have not quite been here before.
No, not in this sense.
And Charlie,
go ahead.
I get what you're saying about, yes, the body count, about 9/11, but this is an act of war. This is an attack on the United States of America. And their people will die in a Trump administration if everything he's done so far is any indication. And so I just, like I say, and this is, of course, this is the Watergate of our generation, because we're in the cyber generation. Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, Iran and Contra was the Watergate of my generation, but it's certainly the Watergate of the as you said, the cyber generation. Gen X or millennials or whatever the hell they call themselves these days.
Yeah.
Apparently they're two distinct groups now because they're fighting each other on Survivor.
And Mary, you made an interesting point in a tweet, Charlie. Mary wrote about this. She said, "Steph, I think the KGB gave up on funding the American left in the U.S. during the first term of Reagan, then shifted their efforts to funding the American right. The Russians are long-term strategists. They understand the complexities of the long game." You had tweeted, I'll be ignoring any and all putative, quote-unquote, progressive who's more concerned about the reputation of WikiLeaks than about Russian rat effing.
For the teapot dome scandal.
Yes, yes, exactly. But I mean,
you know what, Jim Ward? We could use a man like George the Morenschild again.
Yes.
Kennedy conspiracy humor, ladies and gentlemen. Only on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Only from Charlie Pierce, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, happy Armageddon and Christmas.
Hey, listen,
and
you're going to be in Washington, and I'm going to be in Washington on the 21st, right?
January 21st, sir. Please march with me. Come to Sexy Liberal.
Well,
please be my guest.
Where are you guys going to march? You've been following that story?
Yeah. There's a new location. There's a new location.
Yeah, you guys are going to be marching in like Maryland or something.
No, we are not going to be marching in Maryland. There's a new location. It's going to be near the Capitol.
Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah, right. That'll work.
Yeah, no, it has been cleared. We have the information. We put it up. But anyway,
right.
I will see you there, Charlie, in the Hillary Clinton administration.
And listen, have a great holiday, everybody,
all right.
Huh?
Thank you.
Yeah,
you
thank
too,
you.
Charlie.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes, Charlie Pierce. Such a little scamp.